Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Genesis chapter 4, and I've tried to tell jokes before, but nobody laughs, so I'm not going to tell them. And I just figure I'll use the time for something else. So Genesis chapter number 4. And verse number 1, and you'll notice I diverted. I'll be back to Nehemiah tomorrow night, but I diverted for the night. Verse 1, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen, if thou doest well? Now, in verse 7, notice that phrase, if thou doest well. He's talking about according to God's standard. God's standard and our standard are often different. He said, if thou doest well by my standard, I'm not adding to it, I'm just telling you, that's the standard he's talking about. If thou doest well by God's standard, shalt thou not be accepted? In other words, if you did right by my standard, you would have been accepted. I wouldn't have turned your offering down. But Cain didn't want to do it God's way. He didn't want God's standard. So then, and if thou doest not well, in other words, if you insist on setting your own standards for what's acceptable, what's going to happen? Sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So he says, in other words, if you insist on your own setting your own rules for offering to me, sin lieth at the door. And I want you to know, and you know what happened. Verse 8, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Will you turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick for me? Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to know Satan is after every one of us. He's after your home. He's after your grandbabies, your great-grandbabies. He's after you. He's after your marriage. He's after you. He so told Cain here, what lieth at the door? Sin lieth at the door. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about shutting the door. Shutting the door. He said, sin lieth at the door. And we got to understand there's a battle greater than what we see. Your issues are not with people at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Your issues are not with a pastor, not with a choir, not with an Awana worker. Your issues are found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Look at it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We got to understand the battle is not each other. Satan, I would hate to pull back the curtain and see the spiritual warfare going on right now. It would blow your mind. If we could see just for a moment in a service like this, just peel back the curtain and see all that's going on. And you don't believe, oh, there's spiritual warfare. Oh, Michael said, I'd have been here 21 days ago. But I got into it. He got into a battle. There's spiritual warfare all around us. Again, it's not your neighbor. It's not that God-denying boss that you work for. Or that person you work with. They're not the enemy. Church people are surely not your enemy. That nursery worker that puts your little boy in time out because he bit somebody, they're not the enemy. I got to watch what I say around here. I done called out the bug man and the pigs, and I got in all kinds of trouble, huh? But we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We're in a battle. And I think, and I don't want to focus on just this age group tonight, but back in 2015, we had three people under the age of 20 and over the age of 17 pass away. Within 4 months. I mean people that grew up in the church. Three of them, young people, under 20, in 4 months. You talk about devastation. Devastation. Never had a year like that, and I don't know that I want one. The first one, Hannah Robinson, she passed away July 15, 2015. Would you put her picture up there for me, please? Hannah grew up at Freedom. And she'd come to Wednesday night. We had Awanas, and then we do Freedom Youth Club. I think y'all still do Awanas here. Wednesday night program, she was in Awanas. She was in the youth group. These are not people that came every now and then. They came every service, like every service. These are not casual people. They didn't just come Sunday morning. And I appreciate everybody that comes. Y'all hear me? I want to get your heart tonight. So these are people that came every single service with their girls. And on July 15, 2015, I get a call from I'm the Highway Patrol Chaplain, E4 for Forsyth County, and one of them called me, and he said, "You need to come down here off Patterson." And I knew when he said where I needed to come, it wasn't a good place. So I grabbed a man that I was with just to have somebody with me. And I said, "I need you to go with me. Just stay in the truck until I tell you to get out." And he said, "Okay." And so I go, and there Hannah is. And she had overdosed. And, I mean, you got to understand, this girl, no trouble. Youth group. Sunday school, Christmas plays, all of it. Got around the wrong crowd. Started hanging out with the wrong people. Played soccer at West Stokes. Got around the wrong crowd and ended up dying. Parents are good people. Good people. I mean good people. Love the Lord. And you wonder, you got to wonder, what else could I have done as pastor, as people? What could we have done to keep this from happening? What could we have done? Then on September the 6th, 2015, just a couple months later, Zane Snyder passed away. He was the first hypoplastic left heart syndrome patient in the world to receive. He received a syncardia, which was a total artificial heart transplant at Duke. And he received this transplant. And he was a miracle just to live as long as he did. And he died from complications after the transplant. And then on November 17th, Kaylee Smith, another young lady who was friends with Hannah, passed away in a car crash. So that was three right there together. And Zane was always the artificial heart. He was always there. And but you think about these kids, 70% of our young people, when they leave, only 35%. When they leave to go to college, only 35% come back. And that's not counting the ones that don't go to college and are just out. Where are they going? And I'm talking about the 20-somethings. If I go back and look in my church, and I'm going to talk in a minute about everybody, but if I go back in our church and I look and I think, I can go through and I could name you, and the guy that was here last night, Greg Pardue, he could name you. We could fill up one of them yellow legal pads front and back of names of people in their 20s who used to come, and in their 30s who used to come. That's not just from me pastoring. I mean, we're doing good. Had 700 people. We had two Sundays in a row, Friends Sunday, Easter Sunday, 700 people. Probably had 600 of the week. So we're doing good. But we got a list of people, for whatever reason, young people that get out, they don't come back. Now, we got a lot that are still there. Every church in America, that age group, can get lost in the cracks. And I got to thinking, what are we not doing right? When I look at that list, it tears me to pieces. You may have your own list of people like that. Brother Barker, how long have you been pastor here? 16 years. There's a list, I promise you. Every church has one of people who were in, and now they're not. And specifically, that age group, get out of high school, and you don't see them. Now, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? I think first, number one, we got to review the decline. We got to review. We got to see what's going on. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Satan is after you. And so I think first we got to review why is this so? Why do people who you raise them right, bring them up right, they come in church, they're in Awanas, they're in Sunday school, they grew up in the nursery, or other people, maybe not in that age frame, and you think, where are they? You got to think about this, because they're a soul for whom Jesus died. Jesus cares about those people because sin lieth at the door right here. Satan is ready to devour anybody that'll give him a crack. He just needs a crack. And he'll devour any family, any man, any woman, any young person. He'll devour them. Sin lieth at the door. So whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? I think we have to look at it. I think you have to examine the opportunities that God gave you. There's two things you'll stand at the judgment seat for that nobody has the same. Ability and opportunity. Ability and nobody has the same ability. Nobody has the same opportunity. But you'll be, I believe, at the judgment seat. We'll not be judged for our sins. He took them on the cross. But I believe we will be our ability and our opportunity. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? I think we need to have the hard conversations and look around. Can you think of anybody, and don't nod your head or raise your hand, but can you think of anybody that's fell through the cracks? And I'm not just talking about this church. I'm thinking every church in America has this group. There's people, for whatever reason, they're not here. There's people at Freedom. And some fell plumb off the earth after COVID. They didn't just fall through the crack. They just, the whole, everything opened up, you know. And I'm still trying to get some of them back. Every church in America is trying to do that. But I think we need to look and think what we need to talk about it. Whose fault is it? Number one, there's an individual responsibility. There's an individual responsibility. In other words, Romans 14:12 says this, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." We have the right to choose, but we don't have a right to choose consequences. At the end of the day, you'll stand before God for you. I'll stand before God for me. There's an individual responsibility. We can blame everybody, and this is not a blame type service. We can blame everybody, but at the end of the day, you have a responsibility. You'll stand before God for you. Whether you're saved or lost, and if you're saved, it'll be the judgment seat. So we have individual responsibility. You can't blame mama and daddy and grandpa and granny and everybody else and papa. We're good at it in this culture. Papa stepped on my toe. That's why, you know, cut somebody's arm off. No, that ain't why you cut somebody's arm off. You hurt somebody because you're wicked. You made a choice. So there's an individual responsibility that we can't get out. So before you blame the church and you blame yourself and you just live in a grief-stricken environment, understand there's an individual responsibility. Every person will stand before God themselves. So don't feel so bad if you, when you see this happening and think, oh my, what did I do? It may be nothing. Because they have a choice. They have an individual responsibility. Here he says it. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're good at blaming. It's nobody's fault anymore. If y'all, you know what I'm talking about. These young people, it's never their fault. Well, they didn't teach it right. They didn't do it right. They didn't show me. Nobody told me. Nobody showed me how. No, you didn't do it because you didn't want to do it. Every one of us have an individual responsibility. Let's quit putting it off on somebody else. We got it. And own it. At the end of the day, every one of us will stand on our own two feet. Everybody. Well, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And we'll stand before him individually. And then, number two, there's not only an individual responsibility, there's a collective responsibility. Collective. Romans 12:13. The Bible says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So that tells me that I do have some responsibility collectively to do right. Because I'm not to put a stumbling block in front of my brother. Galatians 6:1-2, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Then what does he say, verse 2? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, 14, 15, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit. For the body's not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, we need all of it. We're collectively responsible. You say, well, it's not my fault. No, we're all as a church, Amazing Grace, Freedom Baptist Church, we're all responsible for the people who come in this room. All these young people and these babies that are here, we're responsible. Well, I don't have a job in the church. That is your job. You're responsible for how we're collected, because it says we all have part. You're a part of the body. I mean, who's heard of you say you can't be an absent church member no more than you can have an absent toe and do well. You got to have it. If you don't think so, cut it off. Try to get around with it. It's not going to work. You need it all. And what I'm saying tonight, as we dedicate this place to honoring the name of God, let's make sure that all of us are in our place and doing our part. Because you have a part. Not me. I just come. Well, get a part. You have a part. You may not think you do, but you'll be collectively responsible because you're part of the body. If you lay out one time or you don't think it's important to do this or that, you're collectively responsible for the body. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, 27. First Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Well, that's hard for Baptist people. It's hard for Baptist people to rejoice when somebody else does good. Because when you're clapping, you're sitting there thinking, well, my baby did that too. They ain't said nothing about that. You can't rejoice for thinking about what they didn't do. But he said rejoice. Hey, when somebody hurts, hurt with them. When they rejoice, you know the sign of a spiritual person? They can rejoice with somebody when something good happens. That's a sign of a spiritually mature person. They can rejoice with you. Now, ye are the body of Christ, verse 27, and members in particular. One hurts, we all hurt. One hurts, we all hurt. We share a collective responsibility. Again, we don't need a part-time church member anymore than we need a part-time toe. We can't have it. Now, why do they go? And this is more specific to our young people, but and then I'm going to talk to us all about what to do about it. Why do they go? Number one, we've settled for reproductions instead of regeneration. We've settled for reproductions instead of regeneration. In other words, an outward conformity doesn't equal inward conversion. Don't just be happy because of what somebody doesn't do. There's got to be an inward conversion. And we've accepted reproductions instead of inward conversion. Just because they got it going on the outside. I was talking to my wife and I was riding down the road today. And I hate these phone calls. I mean, these texts. I need to talk to somebody in confidentiality. I need in confidence. You or your wife. Well, it was a woman. It ain't going to be me. I can tell you that. It's going to be me and her. My wife. That's a good rule right there. So I said, I call and I always do this because it's just the right thing to do. I said, I just calling you back out from Colorado. I said, just calling you back. My wife's in the car here. I said, say hey, baby. Put on speakerphone. I said, you're on speakerphone. And talk. And you know, and here's what she said. She's talking about this person. She said, and she was right, by the way. She said, they're two people, Pastor. They're two people. And you may know somebody like that. They're two people. We don't need any reproductions. We need real conversion. So don't just be settled for somebody not doing something. There's got to be a change inside. We've settled for reproductions instead of regeneration. Number two, we've substituted relevance for redemptive truth. We've substituted relevance. We've raised a generation on bedtime stories and chats instead of preaching redemptive truth. And so what do you get when you get that? When they find they're in the grown-up world now and they want to serve Christ and it gets a little hard and they've been raised on raps and chats and bedtime truth. Hey, I can't take it. They're out. So we've substituted relevance for redemptive truth. Truth trumps relevance. This Bible is relevant. You drop it in any generation you want to drop it in, and it's relevant. This Bible transcends culture. I don't care what the culture is. You take this Bible, and it cuts through, transcends culture. It cuts through any culture, in any language, in any country, on this continent. This Bible is truth, and it's not to be substituted with stories and tales and fables and really relevance. We think we're being cool and we're connecting with the young people, but really we're selling them short because we're not telling the truth. Young people want the truth. The parents are the ones that have the problems giving it to them, but they want it. Now, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick. Powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what does it. So don't forget that any youth work, any kind of work like that, you got to give them truth. Hey, have fun, have a blast. I mean, you know, go shoot tannerite somewhere and blow up something wonderful. Okay, say I hope it was. But give them truth. Man, we had Sport and Clay. We had a Sport and Clay event the other Saturday, and I don't even shoot that stuff. I don't even know how to do it. One of them let me borrow a gun, and I started shooting, you know. Every man likes to shoot. If he's a man, he loves to shoot. So I just shot. I didn't hit much, but I like to shoot. And just shot. But I guarantee you, in the middle of it, we was going after souls. I ain't interested in having a Sport and Clay tournament if you're not talking about souls. I'm not interested in having a bass tournament unless you're going for souls. Amen. We don't substitute relevance for redemptive truth. Number three, we've sacrificed the religious on the altar of the rational. The religious, in other words, everybody was, and here's when some of this with Hannah started. A lot of ball. Like, everything's good till we start till we get our after nines. And then church is not important anymore. And then travel ball and ball. I never forget, somebody told me at church one day, husband and wife, they pulled up, and their daughter was very successful in volleyball. Full ride scholarship, played volleyball. And you know what they told me? They rolled the window down. They said, Pastor, if I had to do all over again, I'd have never had her pick up a volleyball, ever. She said, it's ruined them. I didn't tell her that. She told me that. And, you know, here's what's happened to a lot of them. We have sacrificed the religious on the altar of the rational. Now, what do we do, church? I'm going to be brief tonight. I'm going to come in for a landing. What do? So, we see these kids up here. It's wonderful. What do? These young people. How many teenagers we got? How many teenagers are in the building? Your teenager, would you raise your hand? You hold up high for me, please. How many of you are 14 or older? Would you hold your hand? Yeah. What's going on? Okay, you may put them down. What do we need to do to help them? What do we need to do? Number one, be rooted. Be rooted. You be solid. You be solid. You may not work with the teenagers. You may not have a part in the Awanas. You may not have a specific job, but you be rooted. You pray and you read and you intercede for them and you pray and fast for them. And you make sure that if they go astray, they'll go over your tears. And if they go astray, they'll go over you fighting the devil tooth and nail for their life. And you're not going to let him destroy them. You're going to shut the door. Shut the door. How do you shut the door? You be rooted. You be solid. You be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Every time the doors are open, you be here. Be rooted. Boy, this generation is tired of seeing fake. Be rooted. Read your Bible. Pray. You intercede for the next generation, because one day you're not going to be here. But you're going to speak. Dead, yet he's speaking. You're going to speak? What are you going to be saying? We got to shut the door. Sir, you got to shut the door. You may not have a job in this church specific. I appreciate all the workers here. All them parking lot guys smiling. That's just refreshing. I didn't need any directions. It's just good to see them smiling, laughing. Amen. Coming after a long day, been seeing people with long faces all day, and come in and just see them out there smiling, laughing, cutting up, making fun of one another. I just enjoyed seeing them laugh, you know. But that's part of it. That shapes these kids' culture. It shapes them. They'll never get over that stuff. I'll never forget them old men on the front row that never sit anywhere but the front. Cross their legs. Them old deacons and Jack Lashman had a wife named Peanut. What about that? And Jack would sit there, and he was a mechanic. But on Sunday, he was slick. I mean, that dude was slick. Red tie, white shirt, shine shoes, and them old polyester stretchy socks. Y'all remember them? I'm not going to look. And he'd sit right on the front, and Peanut would have that hard candy. And I'd go over and get some. And that was part of my life. If something would have happened with old Jack and Peanut, I don't know what would have happened to me. I mean, they was a fixture in my life. And some of you are like that. It's important that you be rooted. Hey, you don't have the option of being a part-time member. I don't know if we'll go or not. Well, they're having that for the young people. We ain't young anymore. We're going to go on to the fish house. I don't guess around. I don't know if there's a fish house around here much. It is, but at my church, if I want to have a second service, all I got to do is go to Cornette. That's the truth if I've ever told it. If there's not 90 of my church members there every service, I'm telling you the truth. Sunday morning, I could have a second service. And some of the ones that skip church may even float in there. You never know. Be rooted. Be rooted. Number two, be real. And I mentioned that. And when I say be real, I don't mean some soupy, transparent carnality either. Like these young guys talk about now, let's just be real. Let's just be true. What they mean is just be sinful and ask everybody to be okay with it. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say be real, I don't mean get up and tell all the, you know, pull out all your skeletons and tell everybody about it. I'm talking about be real as in be what you say you are. You saved? Hey, be real. Don't be fake. Don't be fake. I hate imitation anything. Be real. Be real. They need to see that. Number three, be readable. Be readable. Set a good example. You got to be readable. You got to be able to be followed. You ever been behind somebody that drives like a maniac? My wife says I do this. She says, honey, don't ask anybody to follow you anywhere because they can't. I just, you know, I like to get there, Brother Jonathan. If I'm in the car, I don't like being in the car. I don't like riding. It's a waste of time to me, and I want to get there. I don't like to look in. Now, if I see some barns and some old farms, now I do love that. I will stop in the middle of the road for those. If I see old barns, I just love it. And I got to get there. But we got to be readable. You can't be hot and cold in and out. One year you helped at camp, the next year you didn't. One year you was a worker at camp, and the next year you ain't. Or one year you was helping, and now you're out. They don't need hot or cold. They don't need this in and out stuff. They need somebody to follow, be able to follow. Are you followable? Church member, are you followable? I mean, if you don't have any kids, are you followable? Readable. Can they follow you? Are they going to count on you? I mean, you're going to be there. Don't matter what's happening, you're going to be there. Have a little church. I remember when we, you know, back in the early 90s, we had some church trouble at my home church, and it split. And I remember the people that just stayed with it. Well, I was thankful. I'll never forget those people in all my life. I'll never forget them. They may not have been Sunday school teachers, and they may not have been. This world may not know their name, but I appreciate them because I knew what they was going through. They was sticking it out. They was staying with it. And I was in Bible college, and I wanted to fight for my pastor, but I was away, and I couldn't. I wanted to stand up for my pastor, and I couldn't because I wasn't there. Well, I remember those people that stood for right. And I thought, man, I appreciate that. Be readable. These babies need somebody to follow. Hey, shut the door. How do you shut the door? Be rooted. Be real. Be readable. Be readable. And then, number four, be receptive. Be receptive. Love unconditionally. Love unconditionally. Pay attention to each other. Pay attention. You need to be receptive. You need to pay attention. Have your antennas up. If you see a young person start working a job, pulls them out of church, pay attention. Pay attention. Just watch. Just some middle-aged man just gets another job and starts missing Wednesday nights. He ain't never missed yet. Pay attention. Get your radar up. Be receptive. Why we need to shut the door? Is anybody who's over the nursery? Who works in the nursery? Like who's in charge of the nursery? Anybody? Miss Leslie? What's your name? Miss Kayla? Kayla, That's from your pastor, Kayla. So, Miss Kayla, all right, who teaches Sunday school? Just say all the primary ages. If you teach Sunday school, would you stand up? And Miss Kayla, can you stand when they stand? I won't have you stand by yourself. You stand to teach. Okay, good. If you teach in Awanas, would you stand up? In Awanas? Okay. Teens or the singles or the teens, would you stand? Got nursery, got, okay. The parking lot guys, will y'all stand up for me? I like it. Thank you. Now, do you know what? Just stay standing. You know what you got to do? Shut the door. Sin lieth at the door. Satan's after these young people. He's after this church. You think he's going to let you build a building and go after this community and not fight? Sin lieth at the door. Shut the door. It's our job. Nursery workers, primary teachers, shut the door. My first grade teacher still watches me. She's up there. And watches me on live stream. And shut the door. Teenage workers, shut the door. It's your job. How do you do it, Pastor? Be rooted. Be real. Be readable. Be able to be followed. And be receptive. Hey, love them when nobody else is loving them. Pay attention when nobody else is paying attention. And it's everybody's job. How many of you are members of the church? Would you stand? You're a member of this church. Would you stand? Or you've been coming long enough to be a common law member. You stand too. you know whose job it is to shut the door? All of us. All of us. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? I was thinking, y'all may be seated. I was thinking, I was reading some right before she passed away. She got put in prison. Hannah. And I was going back one day, Brother Barker, and I was thinking, man, I wonder if I could have done something. I wish I'd have just paid more attention. I wish I'd have just, I mean, as I sit there at that motel and with that trooper and look at her laying there dead, I thought, man, I wish we could have done more. Maybe if I'd have just, you know, and when I text young people, especially females, I include my wife when I text them together. I thought maybe if we just sent one more text. Maybe if I just called her one more time. Maybe something would have turned out different. Now I got to deal with mom and dad for the rest of their life, losing their baby. And I thought, man, if I could have just been a better pastor. I wonder if it would have been different. If a Sunday school teacher. And you know what we say is, any tissue. You know what we say is this, and they end up getting out right there. What happens is they quit coming. Y'all know that. Now here's what happens. The devil gives them a lie, and they quit coming. They're not involved, and they just kind of fall off the radar. You know how it happens. It's not that you just quit. It's like, well, if they don't want me bugging them, I'm just going to quit bugging them. I ain't going to just keep on. Sometimes you need to keep on. Shut the door. If I could have one more shot with Hannah, try to do something about the way her life ended. I would. Okay. Well, it's embarrassing. I'd just be embarrassed. It's awkward. Just be awkward. They don't appreciate it. So what? That's half the congregation. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just go anyway. Get yourself out of your comfort zone. Well, I'm an old person. They don't want to listen to me. Hey, do it anyway. Everybody's looking for somebody to care. Everybody needs somebody to shut the door. Shut the door. Because sin lies at the door. shut the door. And young people, you need to do it for each other. You're not exempt. When you see one sliding out, shut the door. And you can say more than we can say. You can say, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Going somewhere with that joker? That'd be good, wouldn't it? What are you doing anyhow? Staying out like that. You can say more and get by with it. All of us need to shut the door. And I don't care if you're 75 or 85. You have responsibility to shut the door. If you're a husband, you got three kids, and you got your own issues, you have responsibility collectively to shut the door so that these young people make it. May God help us. You got a lot going for you, church. Let's not let anybody slide through. Let's get a list and go after them. On that list I talked about, you got a list. Let's go after them. Get your list out. Write them down. Go after. You don't have to tell anybody you're doing it. Don't tell them you're doing it. Just get your list. I guarantee you can find at least five names right now. I promise you can. If you've been here long enough, you can come up with five names of maybe people that growed up in this church. For whatever reason, they're just not here. Let's go get them. Shut the door. Don't let them. I'd hate to think that Hannah's pointing a finger at me and saying, Pastor didn't do enough. I couldn't even live myself like it. And I did stuff. Don't think I'm a sorry, but I did stuff. But we can all do more. May God help us. Father, thank you.